Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively out on the road doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I have all my lottery swag here, the koozies for summertime. We're going to be with our mayor, Brandon Scott, maybe with the mask on. I'm not sure, down at Coco's on the 17th of the month right now. We're at Silver Spring Mining Company. My friend Gary Risling put these places together a long time. We're in Perry Hall. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm going to have some scratch-offs with me at Nick's Grandstand next week up in Timonium. We're going to be at Fadley's next Wednesday with Attorney General Brian Frosch, as well as with Ben Jealous. And right now we are in Perry Hall with Councilman David Marks. Welcome in, man. How are you? Pleasure.
Great to be here.
Great to have you here. I mean, we got a little iced tea. The hockey game will be on here at some point with Gary. Mm-hmm. You came in. We said a lot. I've never met you. We've had you on the show. And I guess that's a lot of people last year and a half have had on the show that I've never met, right? I mean, such as a Zoom life. But I told you, man, my son went to Perry Hall right up the road here. I remember the snowstorm of, I want to say it was about 94, January 94, 93. We had about 3 feet of snow. Mm-hmm. My son and I lived on Flanders Court in Silver Spring Station in the apartments right off of Coddington. And I banked right up here at First Mariner Bank when Ed Hale bought the bank. And Gary was my hockey friend from 1984. He had the Calgary Cattle Company down Bel Air Road with his then partner Cal Loft, who we lost. And I hope Gary and I get together and talk about. But the Perry Hall background, this was home for me. This very, very familiar part from where what is now, I guess, Looney's, which three or four other different bars. All the meals I had along here and raising my son through here from 1993 to 99, I lived here. And then 99 to 03, I lived over by the Boomy Temple on Buck Schoolhouse Road, over by Essex Community College. So when people ask me where home was for a long, long time, when I first came on the radio, White Marsh, Perry Hall, and that's pretty much the same for you, right?
Yeah, I've lived here my whole life, actually since I was five. And, you know, the neat thing about this place is it's grown tremendously.
Huge.
A lot of growth, a lot of development.
I keep telling my wife there really was a marsh.
There was. Yeah. And it's grew very fast. I mean, it grew, our population doubled within a course of 10 or 15 years.
Now, when you say our, you mean the Perry Hall?
Perry Hall population.
Well, I'm thinking about Honeygo being shut down by the high school, and then it just opened up.
It opened up.
And the space has been used wisely. I mean, parks and different things.
Yep.
And I know that's where I've had, at one point, I think it was six living county executives on. Now, we lost Ted. Mm-hmm. Don put a show together with Ted, Don Hutchinson, Don Moeller, I don't leave anybody out, Rasmussen, keep going.
Roger Hayden,
Jim Smith.
Dutch. Yep.
And we lost Kevin. So whoever that group was, it was everybody.
Yeah.
We all got together. And this has been the story of my life from, and I kidded Ted, and I can just laugh a lot about Ted, because I told Ted I campaigned against Ted. I campaigned for John Coulihan.
Oh, my gosh.
The line of Hailthorpe.
Yeah.
John Coulihan got my parents, kept me from going to Venezuela and being abducted as a kid. Truth. My father was trying to run out of the country with me, and John Coulihan got involved. So we campaigned for John against Ted.
Yeah.
And Ted said, I beat the hell out of him. You know how Ted was, right? But but the Baltimore County executives, going back to the criminals, and we're going back 50 years, right, that this has been a well-run county. Don loves to brag about that, you know, like, and talk about it. But it's not lip service. Baltimore County, against the country, has done pretty well during the course of my lifetime, educated me well as well.
It's been governed by conservative Democrats and moderate Republicans. And both parties have kind of focused on, you know, keeping the tax rate stable, not raising taxes, and fostering development, and using the surpluses you get for public works, for parks, for schools, things like that. And so it has been well managed. The bond rating has always been excellent. And it's kind of produced this culture of moderation, I think.
As a moderate Republican, that's it, right? I mean, the budget's, if we're out of whack doing that, even like in a household, it doesn't work. So that's where the Republican in me comes out. When you start talking about let's take care of the money, I'm all for that. I mean, and I've always been for that. And I think that well-run municipalities have that. If a well-run municipality gets too liberal with money, just with money, you get Connecticut. You're broke, right? I mean, your municipalities that are bankrupt and have no bond rating and can't get money and can't attract investment or business investment, right?
Yeah, and that's even what we've tried to do over the past year. I mean, we suddenly have these surpluses. And, you know, there's the Republicans would honestly like to see taxes cut a bit. But, I mean, you want to put your money from surpluses into things like roads and schools and infrastructure that doesn't balloon your payroll. You know, that's where you get in trouble when you don't have surpluses. And so, you know, the county executive, and I credit him for this, he put that money into things like school construction and repairing roads. We have 4 miles of Joppa Road being resurfaced. That's huge. That's good stuff.
Well, it's good for their businesses, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And ingress and egress. And listen, I live downtown, and, you know, it says Baltimore Positive right here on the label,
sure.
Right under where you are. And this thing was born out of me living over here for 15 years, renting and buying, and then moving into the city. I've owned two properties in the city. I own 428 Kane Street. I bought the day I turned 18 years old, a couple weeks after that, in December 1986. And I bought it for $48,000 in 1986, and I sold it in 1999 for $44,000.
Wow.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the, and that would have been Patterson High School, Kane Street, that area. And so I lost money on, you know, the first investment of my life. I've lived downtown for 18 years now. I bought it 2003. And I'm about to lose money. I'm about to, sell my condo for less after putting $150,000 into it, less than I bought it for. And there are potholes in the city, you know, and I'll talk to Brandon about this. He'll be with us at Coco's. You know, and this isn't a bitch session. This is a fix-it session. Mm. You know, Governor Schaefer, who we feeded this year and signed the birthday, it wasn't about who. It was about fix it. Do it now.
Right.
Do it now and get it done. And let's find a way to pay for it, because that's what good government does, right? And good government hires good people to do good work and pave a road where it's going to last for half a generation and not 3 weeks later be made out of cheese wood, right?
That's the best part of local government. I mean, the best part is you see the results. You see the tangible results of things you get done. And because we have to get things done, we can't squabble. It doesn't say the Republicans and Democrats agree on everything. We don't. But
they can all go home from Washington to Iowa or wherever they are,
right.
and you have to go home to Bel Air Road and go out and eat tonight at White Marsh.
That's right, and I have to get things done, you know. And you know, we have philosophical differences at times, but we agree to disagree and we move on.
David Marks is our guest. We will have philosophical differences. He's Republican. We're up here in Burial. You know, agreeing on everything. I think I said this to you because I don't even know you well. I said, dude, I'm left of Bernie Sanders on a lot of issues, and that's great. I'm right of Donald Trump on some. Some that piss off Mueller, like the death penalty. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel differently about it, right? And than a traditional liberal Democrat or socialist or whatever they're calling me this week. And they've called me a lot of names over 30 years. But, you know, I've seen the city deteriorate, and that's why I started Baltimore Positive. And I think part of that is trying to be solution-oriented, not complaint-oriented, right? And I think it can be so divisive. I remember when the PTAs were the only place people fought, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 40 years ago. Now that's sort of spilled out onto the internet, beyond PTAs, across politics, to vaccines, and things that I tell Don Mueller every day, and I know you're in education too, Dave. You know, 1973, I went to Mr. Connolly up at Colgate Elementary, where we're cutting the tape next week, and I'll give you a chance to brag on your schools, with Johnny O, and the first thing they said to the McGurkins, my parents, is young Nestor here, is he vaccinated? Does he have his vaccination? Because we can't let him into school. We got measles, we got mumps, we got things going on here, you know? Mm-hmm. And my mom's like, I lost my aunt to polio. Oh, really? It made sense, and no one ever questioned it. We're at a point now where getting a vaccine against an obvious plague that's documented through science, through everyone, credible, that this has become a fight for constituents everywhere in your at every workplace. Aaron Rodgers has this problem this
sure.
week, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the cleavages in society have become so profound, and so much so that, you know, just Democrats won't speak to Republicans and vice versa. I think we did come together a bit in the beginning part of this pandemic, but then we just split right apart. It's frustrating.
What do you see as the biggest problem? And as a councilman here, if we're having a beer and I say, what's the biggest problem in your district? What would you say? Or give me the three biggest things that someone, if we're sitting here at Silver Spring, would come in. What are the first three things I'm going to hear them complain to you about that's on your desk?
Crime. I mean, crime is the number one issue, quite frankly.
Okay, fair enough.
Public safety, the sense that The city's problems are spilling over.
Fair enough. And I've seen that in the paper all month long, and people are railing about crime rates. And are we solving crimes?
Right.
Are we solving them? Someone comes up and robs Gary here. Do we find that person? Do we catch that person?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do we?
We have a pretty good police department. We really do. We have a police department that has generally had very high clearance rates. We didn't have a lot of the sort of problems when you had the Freddie Gray situation, the Floyd Brown situation.
George Floyd.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So we're talking about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Not 2016.
We were able to have civil disobedience and protests and such, but nothing ever became violent. Right.
Well, I live downtown, and I saw lights coming down the street every night peaceful protests. People
peaceful
saying
protests.
That we can't have innocent people, perceived innocent or not, have a police officer put their knee. If that happens at Silver Spring and Bel Air Road, all hell should break loose. Literally.
Yeah. I completely agree. But my point is, we were able to come together and craft a police reform bill. A bipartisan police reform bill that helps modernize the police department.
I had Julian on several times about
and
one of your colleagues.
Yeah, and I was the Republican co-sponsor of that, and Julian was the lead sponsor on the Democratic side. And we were able to get that done and help begin the process of modernizing our police department in a very civil way. We avoided violence out here. You know, I think
we also had a tragedy out here too. With an officer and a lot that fell out of that was not good, right? I mean, everyone supports the police. You know, this notion that defund and all this nonsense that went on, no sane person I know wants to do away with policing or have less policing.
Right.
Just want to make sure the policing's being done lawfully, and that if I get pulled over, I get the same treatment I would get if my skin color were different, if I were taller, shorter, of whatever different, that everyone's getting the same fair treatment.
Yeah, I mean, the police department needs to be humane, and it needs to be reflective of the communities it serves. And that's what we need to do. And I guess my point with this discussion is it kind of shows our moderate temperament and the willingness in the county government to find solutions and not to escalate things. And I'm quite frankly, I'm proud of that bill, and I'm proud of the police department. I mean, it's doing a lot of good things.
Doesn't that speak to the caliber of the leadership that you're not throwing a Trump thing on your lawn and yelling about the elections being rigged? The nonsense that's going on, that it is the personalities. Johnny's pretty mellow cat, been at this a long time, his pop did this. There's a lot of, when the bunch of you get in the room, I say, all right, there's some different beliefs in there, but the people in the room are literally serving the constituents. They're serving the real issues that are going on, not performative issues, right? Because we have enough to do without performative nonsense. I mean, especially during the plague, and just trying to keep hospitals right, population safe, working people working. I'm going to have Rob Santoni here from Wise Markets a little later.
Great guy. Great guy. Yep.
And trying to keep groceries going. The basic things. I mean, our society was broken down to its core a year and a half ago in a way that none of us, Gary here at Silver Spring, nobody could have prepared. We stopped sports, and I'm in the sports business. I'd never given that a thought in my life that we all had to behave differently a year and a half ago. And I think it has brought out some level of, we are in this together. You know, that if the plague's proven anything, as we all wear these masks, anybody that's wearing a mask is basically saying, I'm in this together. I'm in. I'm all in. I don't want to hurt you. You don't want to hurt me. That's kind of a nice message, really, when it comes down to it now, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, I do want to commend the county executive. I mean, if you went out to Timonium Fairgrounds when we were doing the vaccinations, it was like a military operations. I mean, it was running like clockwork. Governor Hogan went there, even said it was, I think, one of the best managed places in the
state. And by the way, I was putting on a TV and seeing places it wasn't managed well.
That's right. And it is a testament to the fact that we all want to work together. We want to get things done. We want to solve fundamental problems. And where we disagree, we agree. We disagree agreeably, I guess, right? And then we go home.
And when you disagree and you can't do anything about it anyway, I mean, I'm sure if you were a county executive, your politics would dictate that you would run it differently than Johnny, but you're not, and he is, and that's kind of the way part of this is fight fight when you can win, when you can change something, right? If you can't change it, mention it, but don't fight about it because there's no outcome there. If you don't have the votes, I'm saying.
Oh, that is a fundamental question when you're in the minority. Do you vote no and something passes that you completely disagree with, or do you work to amend it? I mean, and there's been bills that have come through where we had to make that decision. There was a bill that required gun retailers, for example, gun shops, to have better safety protocols.
And, I'm for that. As a citizen, I'll hear that.
And, a lot of people just said, well, just vote no, vote no, vote no. I went to the gun stores and I actually said, what can we live with? What can you live with? And Wade Catch and I amended that bill. And
what do you find when you visit? I've never visited with a gun owner. The gun owners I know, no offense, are nuts. They wave their guns around. They wear their NRA shirts. They have their pickup trucks with their thing on it. And if you're hunting deer, I'm good with that. If you're hunting, if you're duck hunting on the, and that's why you feel that way. But it's become way more a political statement about magazines and weapons of mass destruction, and it's not about I got a gun in my house in case someone comes and robs me, right? I mean, I'll hear all of that. It's become a much more aggressive play, especially politically, to say how much ammo can we get to fortify our what. That's a different argument than the Dundalk I knew, where the NRA people that I knew were about shooting ducks on the Eastern, literally a different argument than somebody carrying suitcases of machinery to the top of the Mandalay Bay and opening fire. I don't think anybody should have those kinds of guns. I'll fight that forever for Parkland and for all of those issues. And somewhere in the middle, there's I want to go hunting and I want to protect myself. And then I want to stabilize my house in case we go to war, a civil war, and I'm going to have machinery for that. That's kind of a different kind of conversation, I think, that is led by the NRA. And I don't talk to a lot of NRA people, but I don't go into gun shops and find out what keeps them up at night if I'm a gun shop owner.
Gun shop owners I talked with in my district and in Middle River were very realistic, and they came up with some good suggestions.
Like?
For example, I mean, this bill, it requires these shops to have a security plan. Right. And
now, what does that mean?
You have to have ways of fortifying the stores so that, you're not going to be easily robbed.
OK.
Or a car is going to crash through the windows and steal the guns.
And we've seen that.
Yeah. And they worked with us on the language. And I think we got a better bill because of it.
Well, the other day we had somebody just this morning going through taking an ATM. Right.
Yeah.
In a pharmacy. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, criminal activity is something you wake up to every day and the police wake up to, and you're trying to make sure gun shops don't get cased.
There you go. And it's in their interest to make sure they're not being robbed. So we worked with them. We got good legislation and it became a better bill.
What about the differences between a law here and in Pennsylvania or going across the border? I know nothing about guns. I literally, my family had them. I had, family members in the military, whatever. Just maybe I'm missing my trigger finger, so I just have never felt like I need to roll a piece around to keep myself right. Mm-hmm. If I go to Middle River to buy a gun right now, what do they even ask? I don't even know. I mean, literally, what is the law? I walk in. I'm 21. I want to just go get something because I'm afraid of things and I need to get a gun. What would I need to do to even do that?
It's the state requirements, it's background checks, it's waiting periods, and this is a pretty liberal.
I wouldn't
state.
Get a gun today.
I don't think so. I'm not a lot
if
of
I go to a gun show out tomorrow. I don't know, but I'm assuming this is all part of the city and acquiring a gun illegally for illegal purposes, whatever those activities would be, or just illegally because I don't feel like dealing with it and I just want to have it next to my bed, and it's American, I should be able to have a gun, and there shouldn't be any rules, just like there shouldn't be any vaccines. I mean, people believe all sorts of things, but I do wonder if I just went up to the gun show in Towson and I pulled a couple $100 bills out of my pocket, how hard it would be for me to walk out with a gun as a citizen. I don't know the answer to that, but as a citizen journalist, I'd be interested if I went to 10 gun shops or 10 gun shows or crossed the border or found Louie down in the city, how hard, and everybody tells me, all the street people in the city say, you can have a gun, what's it, 3 o'clock? We have a gun by 4 o'clock. If you like buying drugs used to be, or any of those kind of thing on the street. But legally, if I just walk into a gun shop, I don't even know the rules about it and what protections I have as a citizen that somebody who is a little
sure.
more nefarious, say, gets their hand on a gun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of that's state government. For us, it was just a matter of kind of looking at the properties, the buildings. And, you know, I think we did a good job with that bill, actually.
David March is here. He is our councilman, I should say, but your district might be changing, right?
Yeah, so I represent Towson all the way over to Kingsville. My district goes from Charles Street to the Jericho Cover Bridge. Fascinating district. It's the result of gerrymandering more than 20 years ago. But right now, we're going through a redistricting process like every other local government around the country. The census comes out, we have to change our boundaries. And that's required. So you know, there's seven council members. There are four Democrats, three Republicans. And
it's a lot of balance.
It is balance.
Well, we're a purple county. We're a purple state. We really are.
And our map will have to be bipartisan. That's one place we're different than other places. You know, it takes five votes to pass a redistricting map. The Republicans have three on a seven-member council. So, you know, there needs to be one Republican vote. You know, the big argument right now, I think, is that the ACLU and the NAACP have argued that there should be a second majority minority district. In other words, in 2001, the county council created the first district where an African American was seen as credibly, you know, likely to win. And Ken Oliver won, and then Julian Jones has that district now. The black population of Baltimore County has increased so much so that these advocates argue there should be a second district like this. The problem is that when you look at creating two majority-minority districts, our African-American population is scattered. You have a lot in the west side, but then you have pockets throughout the rest of the county. You know, Hillendale, for example, Turner Station, Dunfield, which is right the road from here. So it's more difficult to do that, to create two majority-minority districts. But that conversation is really...
love the word gerrymandering because it sounds like no matter what we're going to do here, it will be gerrymandered. The only way to not gerrymander is just draw straight lines.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Straight lines don't exist in this part of the world. I mean, maybe in other parts of the world where the world was built differently, you know, but to say everything north of Bel Air Road this way or south of Bel Air Road that way, it's like kind of like school redistricting and the fighting I saw in Howard County a couple years ago.
Oh, with the school board, yeah.
Oh, my God. And you know, you mentioned Ted Vanatulis in the early 70s. My father's first political fight that I remember vividly was around school clusters and closing. And eventually they closed Eastwood Elementary School.
Yep.
I'm about to open. Yep. I mean, this one, I'm talking about 40 years ago now.
Yeah.
You know, but moving districts and moving boundaries is always...
The school board's the worst. I mean, those decisions are so much more controversial than anything we're doing now. I mean, those are the decisions that pack, you know, 300 people into an auditorium.
Well, I said the original arguments with PTA meetings.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, but anyone who doesn't like a map is going to say a district is gerrymandered. And, you know, it's one of those things where you know it when you see it, right? If you see this snake-like just district that
believe me, every time we have Sarbanes on, I mean, and we can't laugh about it. Something needs to be done about it. But the question, and if Don were here right now, he'd be yelling at your Republicanness saying, we're not doing this, or we do the whole country, or we don't do... Because the red states just aren't going to... There's no movement there. In the deep red states, and I was out in Nebraska and Iowa a couple weeks ago, nothing's going to move.
Nothing's moving. And see what happened. It's like a nuclear war. So Illinois just redistricted. And you should look at their map. I mean, their map, it's Democratic. It's a Democratic state. Oh, it's ridiculous. I mean, Chicago, there's like little tentacles coming out of Chicago to create as many Democratic districts as possible. Now that Illinois's done it, Georgia's going to do it. You know, it's like a nuclear war. You're right. I mean, there needs to be a national standard. The Supreme Court refused to step in. And it's unlikely Congress will step in. A lot of the times over the past 10 years when we've had really tough issues, the Supreme Court has stepped in. Same-sex marriage was a good example. The Supreme Court basically established the law there. But this court is not choosing to get involved in gerrymandering, so it's probably going to get worse.
David March is here. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It's presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'd hold my little thing. I'm like out of beverage already. I'm running. I got to hit Gary Risley. We're at Silver Spring Mining Company. We are in... Is this Perry Hall or White Marsh?
Oh, this is Perry Hall.
Definitely?
Yeah, this is definitely Perry Hall.
What becomes White Marsh to you?
Well, Old White Marsh is down by Philadelphia Road. The newer parts, kind of the area near the mall.
You know, what's hilarious is I lived in Nottingham. Nobody's ever said Nottingham. I live in Nottingham.
Yeah.
No one's ever lived in Nottingham. No, I've never met anybody that says I'm from Nottingham. But I've had a lot of people say I'm from White Marsh or Perry Hall. And I really, I lived out here for a decade. I don't know the difference.
Oh, we hate it. We hate it. We hate Nottingham, Maryland, 21236. And there's a reason why that stuck. So Helen Bentley was congresswoman in the 1990s, and she got a post office built over by the mall. And I think they were looking for what to name this area, and they just decided to say Nottingham, Maryland. We hate it. We absolutely hate it.
It's not a real place. Nobody's ever said they're from Nottingham.
Well, there's a Nottingham over by Campbell Boulevard in that area.
But nobody claims it is home. They call it White. They say 11 White Marsh is what they would say, right?
Yeah. So this is, and Perry Hall's, we've been around since 1775. We're coming up on our 250th birthday.
You're a Perry Hall graduate?
Yep, 91.
Right. 91. You're 91. A Gator. All right.
I'm a Gator, yeah.
So I was 85 Dundalk, so we were never like in high school at the same time. And then I moved out here right after you graduated, I guess. I moved out here in 93.
Yeah.
And lived out here very happily. I mean, I've told this story, and I offended somebody with it last week, but it's normal. Who did I offend? I offended somebody, but I said I was looking for a place to send my son to school. Mm-hmm. And I was living in Dundalk and went to Colgate Elementary. And I'm not telling anything I wouldn't say. Holabird Middle School was the worst experience of my life. I hated it. I hated every part of it. I just did. I hated it. And I still hate it. I'll tell anybody I hated it. I made some experiences there, but I didn't want my son to have that experience. I didn't like my experience at Holabird. And I was doing a little better in life, and I could move somewhere. And I had never really thought about moving. I told you, I lived on Kane Street in the city, and I wanted to move where my son would have a better... I wanted my son to have a middle school and high school experience. So I guess I was kind of the angry parent, but I wasn't the PTA parent, but I was making a decision. And I went and visited Dunbarton Middle School, and I visited Pot Springs Middle, and I visited Perry Hall Middle. And I think Don was the superintendent or on that road for that period of life. And I became that parent saying, where am I going to live? And I was going to rent. Mm-hmm. And I picked Perry Hall.
Mm-hmm.
I knew some people that went to school here, and maybe this is Dom would love this because the gifted and talented program in the late 70s fed Dundalk.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole Northeast bussed, and they were the little buses, from Perry Hall, Overly, Lock Raven, and I can give you the kids' names that I knew. You know, Ross Chasen from up here in Perry Hall, and Amy Lauer, and Ingrid Kolstad, people that would have gone to Chesapeake or would have gone to Kenwood, Bustin, Frank Vanek, my dear late friend that would have gone to Overly. They were all brought down to Dundalk. So I had friends, girls I knew, Stephanie Whedon, who I took to my ninth grade prom, from Perry Hall. They were... So the gifted and talented kids from this area came down. So I was familiar with Perry Hall, going to the mall in White Marsh and spending time out here, that I wanted my son to have a better education. And this is what I thought in 1993, 4, 5, to get him into a seven-year program, you know, 5th grade through 12th grade, like that, get him integrated into a different life. I picked Perry Hall for the life of my son. How about that? So right around the time that you were in high school, probably visiting right around that time.
Yeah.
This has always been... a great place to live.
This is a terrific community. I mean, if you drive along Huntington Boulevard, we have 5 parks along there.
They didn't exist when I lived here.
That's right. Well, actually, we have 4 that are there now. We have a new 22-acre park that we're going to be building off about a half mile away from Huntington Boulevard.
The little park on King Avenue behind Essex was a one that I used.
Well, that's going to be a middle school.
Oh, beautiful.
But there'll still be ball fields. So that's going to be a middle school we're building. We're building a new elementary school. We have strong neighborhoods here. We have a sense of place and history.
David, I saw 43 come in.
Oh, I remember that.
Right. I mean, I lived here when 43 came in. And then 43 extended in the last 15 years. Right. That was a Jim Smith project, I believe, into the cabinets there.
I was chief of staff under Ehrlich when that happened, actually. Yeah. And that.
Well, the road to the airport that now is where the Michaels is and the Royal Farms, all of that. Yep.
Yep. And that may be my new district. And boy, has that opened up opportunity. I mean, Eastern Baltimore County has tremendous potential, and that project has really opened up access over there. So I mean,
we got water too.
Yeah, we got the water, and I think there is an argument. Kathy Bevins and Todd Crandall make this argument all the time. We don't market that enough. you know, the waterfront.
I got to get Todd on the show.
Yeah. I mean,
I've known Todd all my life now. You know, I went to high school with Todd.
I didn't know that.
Oh, Todd wrestled the whole deal. Yeah, oh, yeah, geez, Todd was a hawk. Yeah, yeah. Todd and I don't agree on much politically, but I love him. You know, we've been together for a long time. I've known Todd forever.
And he's, you know, each of the council members have things they can really point to with pride, right? I mean, Todd is Trade Point Atlantic. What a tremendous boon that has been.
I have Aaron Tamarkio on all the time. My dad
I was in college Republicans with Aaron.
Well, I grew up, you know, in Dundalk. My dad worked at the Point. So that is, you know, kind of holy area and very polluted and very, you know, toxic in many cases, that it took LNG plans, all of that, to come to a point where people go to work there every day.
Yeah.
And every year they love to brag, and I'm sure you'll brag and Todd will brag, all of them, that there'll be more people working there 5 years from now than there are now, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the council got a lot of criticism when we supported that project, because we came in and we helped with the utilities and the road work and such. But boy, during the pandemic, that place really took off. And I can only imagine what it would be like today if we had not invested in that area. So each council member can take pride in, you know, certain projects. You know, with Kathy Bevins, you know, she's seen a lot of growth in Middle River. Towson, for me. Tom Quirk, Catonsville. You know, there's a lot of good things happening in this county. And, you know, the council members put a lot of hard work into these initiatives.
Appreciate you coming by, man. It's really, really nice to have an iced tea with you.
Do you
want a crab pretzel? I got to get a crab pretzel at some point. Next segment. I got Rob Santoni coming by from Wise.
Rob's great.
So Rob's had the $6 signature crab cake, and I went down and had a crab cake with him. They have that Bell Garden sub that he has down at store, too. That's my Wise. I shop in his store all the time. I give him a hard time about the coconut water. I was trying to get him.
And the receipts. The long receipts.
I don't mind that. I mean, sometimes there's a little deal on it. I you know, that's all good. I'm always, this month, we're doing this for veterans. It's Paralyzed Veterans of America, PVA. So when you go in there and you got to give the extra 56 cents, round up. When you round up this month, it's all good. So we'll get a crab pretzel because, you know, I've known Gary forever. Gary was like one of the original crab pretzel guys. So this is a crab cake tour. But everybody says to me, you don't go there and not get the crab pretzel. And I'm like, it's got a lot of carbs, you know, so for me, and I can't eat it all myself. You know, he sells a little mini guys that you take those home and you could cook them at home. So you can get those to go as well. And
can I put a plug in for Ron?
For Gary or who?
No, for Weiss. Because
we're
going to be doing a food drive the next 2 weekends at Weiss.
Yeah, you want me to get my Wise Markets my mug out, or did I lose my? I got my mug right here. Here it is, my Wise Markets mug.
So we're going to with
this is truly a Wise conversation. See,
it
that?
Is, and not a we is conversation.
Wise. Well, the original Wise is right here around the corner over on Joppa.
Yep.
Seven courts.
So we're going to be doing a food drive with Weiss and Marion Preparatory Academy over the next 2 weekends at Fullerton Plaza.
What's Marion Preparatory Academy?
It is a group of alumni from Notre Dame, you know, closed in the city, and they are
Notre Dame. Okay, so it's just Pelosi's people and like all that.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So
good.
They're reopening over in the western part of the county, and we're going to be doing a food drive with them. Wise is one of the best supermarkets in terms of giving back to the community.
Yes, they are.
And they get a lot of loyal customers because of it.
And Rob's going to be here to tell you about it, and I'll be here to tell you about it, and I'm one of them right now. My rewards card's good, man, especially when it saves me on ice cream like it did the other day. I got some pumpkin, and I got some eggnog. Wise, my sponsor, so they gave me, I have a Wise scooper now
for
my ice cream. So yeah, it's all good. Hey, man, really nice to meet you,
Good to meet you again.
Good to meet you again.
Yes.
I haven't been shaking a whole lot because of COVID, and I'm squeegeeing and doing all the things I need to do and rinsing off here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lot. They gave me a mask. Let yourself play. They have sponsored our crab cake tour, which has allowed me to come out on the road and present these kinds of conversations, including my friend Greg Landry. We're going to be at the Chop Tank on Friday. This is going to be great because I don't think I have any politicians on Friday. No offense. Tony Tochterman's coming down from Tochterman's Fishing and Tackle. We're going to talk about waders and fly fishing. My pal Eddie Lauer is going to bring his guitar. We're going to talk about the Orioles, probably sing some songs. Merritt Dworkin's going to come by and talk about the farmer's market and flooding and issues down at Fells Point. And Ron Furman is going to come by. He's not going to drink because he doesn't drink, but I am going to drink. And we're going to promote Max's on Broadway. We're going to be doing that then at the Chop Tank with the Atlas Group. Wednesday, I'm doing so... I hurt my back, and then you got sick last week.
Yeah.
And then we didn't do this, and it's serendipity. It was meant to happen today, but I had to cancel 3 of these shows. I'm making them all up. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, we're at Fadley's in the morning early on. Friday, we're back at Nick's, finally getting out there and having Nick's crab cake. That's not your district, Timonium, not you.
No,
that's a little west for you, north and west. And we'll be out at the racetrack. That's next Friday, 2 until 5. And then with our mayor, Brandon Scott, back in the city of Cocos in Lauraville. Haven't had a Cocos crab cake since like last century.
Oh, that's a great place.
So I know Marcella well from my days, believe it or not. I had Greg here from the Emerald Tavern. Back in the day when I watched the Houston Oilers over there before the Ravens existed, and we'd have potty parties and play the YMCA with Harvey. The old days, as they would say back in the day. But I've watched a lot of hockey right here behind me at Silver Spring Mining Company with Gary Risling. I've known Gary since 1984. It's like an old friends tour, this crab. I feel bad I didn't get your crab pretzel, bro. Next time.
No, it's fine.
You've had the crab pretzel here.
Oh,
before.
Yeah, it's excellent. Hamburgers are good here, too.
Burger? Is burger night Tuesday or Wednesday?
Wednesday
night. Yeah. Just check. See, I read the small print, and the little crab pretzels, you get those to go now, right?
Package to go.
Frozen. Done. All right. I'm going to get a fresh one at some point. Rob Santoni's my next guest from Wise Markets. My thanks to Councilman David Marsh joining us here. We are in not White Marsh. I was wrong all along. We're in
Perry Hall.
We're in Perry Hall. Yeah. We're at Silver Spring Mining Company. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.